Hey, let's open the scriptures. We continue where we left off, Romans 15. Have some places to go, look at some things tonight, so in the scriptures, so we won't spend a long time on these things, but I think you'll be able to see what's going on. Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Comma. So the faith is how we're going to receive the joy and the peace. In order that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you allow the Spirit to show you things in Scripture, you will find that when it comes to living in the kingdom, the member of the Godhead that is emphasized and talked of is God the Holy Spirit. When you're dealing with entering into the kingdom, the member of the Godhead that is talked about and emphasized is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now let's take a look, flow to this. The God of hope. Now, what does it mean by that here? And what does the hope have to do with? We have in, we'll get to it eventually when we finish the Galatians, get back to spiritual love in 1 Corinthians 13. Now by the faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. But hope is very important. And it's not talking, as we have it used here, it's not talking about hope related to the coming of Christ, the second advent of our Savior. There are passages that deal with that. It's not talking about hope related to eternity future. It's talking about, and in the Corinthians passage, 1 Corinthians 13, talking about hope related to my life and to your life. So what is this talking about? Something that I know will happen, but as yet has not happened, but confident that it is going to happen. So what we're talking about here, the God of hope, and we have seen this and we'll continually see this by Paul and in Hebrews, when you have these kinds of things, is often the hope. We have the hope, the Greek word, the confidence or the hope. For an example, of a righteous life, coming up in our study in Galatians, of spiritual love, of joy in this passage, peace, these kinds of things. What is he talking about? Talking about what we saw last night in our study of Galatians 4, that as you begin to walk by faith directed toward the Holy Spirit, the birth doesn't occur immediately. The birth of Christ formed in you. In fact, you'll reach the point often by God's design where it's going to look like Christ being formed in you is not going to happen. You're not seeing any results. And in fact, what you see is failure. What you see is not what you want to see. And you look at people doing law, and you can see them doing law. They're taking our four list patterns. They're morally righteous right away. They learn doctrine right away. They emote right away. They serve right away. And here you are walking by faith in the Spirit, and it looks like nothing is happening. Why the story of Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac took a long time to get them, will you just trust me, for this birth to occur. And Paul in Galatians relates Christ being formed in us to a birth. And slowly you start seeing these things. But what's happening in this study, what's happening while I'm walking in the kingdom, I'm walking by faith in the Spirit, what's happening is right here. The hope, the confidence of righteous life, spiritual love, joy, peace. And therefore, there is, as we recall in the Galatians 4 passage, barren woman shouts. The barren woman has nothing to shout about because she's barren. She's not giving birth, and yet she's told to shout. Rejoice. Why should I rejoice? I have no children. You have promise. You have hope. And that's what you and I have. It isn't happening. But we don't become discouraged and we don't stop walking by faith and go to law so that we can make it happen, Operation Hagar. We're going to continue to walk by faith with this hope of these things occurring. And so this is the hope that we have. He says, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Again, note, it is God who gives you the joy and the peace and the love, in spiritual love. It is God who gives it, not you producing it. Now, we could talk about, and this is the view of God, when is he going to give it to you? When you do all these things, when you what? No, because then you get it because you did something. The basis of God, of man receiving anything from God, is by grace. The only thing that we'll receive from God that is compatible with grace is faith. Because faith is passive. Faith cannot produce anything. It's not active. It's passive. It can only receive from God. So, it is God who gives this joy and this peace. Why does God give this joy and this peace? It's right here in this passage. Right here in the passage. In believing. In walking by faith. And that's what the word is. It's pistuo. Believing. Walking by the faith. That he is going to give it. That's why it's related to hope. Faith is always related to hope. And then, as you walk by faith, then these things start becoming a reality in your life. So, again, we come to where we left off, to the view of God. You do for him, and he'll give you joy, or you trust him, and he will give you his joy. Right here in this verse, we have it, and he has it in the word, in believing. That is, in walking by faith. This is the lesson God is trying to get man to understand from the first book of the Bible, Job, all the way through the book of Revelation, all the story of Genesis, all the way through. People think about all the stories we have and all the people we have. It's not getting them saved, salvation won. It's getting them to live their life. Will you just trust me, Job? Will you trust me, Abraham? Will you trust me, David? Will you trust me, Jeremiah? Will you trust me, Isaiah? All the stories, getting us to this point. Will you just trust me? Because people, as long as we're going to try to work and make things happen, you're not going to have happiness. It's until we let go and just trust him that this happiness is going to start being formed in you. So, who are we trusting? Who is the one that says believing, but believing always has an object? We're not talking about an abstract concept of faith like the faith movement. If you had enough faith, that's wrong. That's false. So who are we going to trust? The one sent by God. As we've already seen, the object is for entering the kingdom, he sent his son. For walking in the kingdom, he sent his spirit. That's why we have the Holy Spirit mentioned in our passage. He is the one that we are going to walk by faith in. That is in the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Spirit. I want the power of the Spirit working in me to give me this hope and peace. And I mean, this peace and this joy. So what we're dealing with is, the great battle is continuing to trust the Holy Spirit to do his work in me. Trusting him to do it. Just as in order to be saved, we are trusting in Jesus Christ to do his saving work in me. Now we're trusting the Holy Spirit to do his work in me. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of God the Holy Spirit. And what does this mean? As we walk by faith in the Spirit while waiting for the birth of the inner happiness starting to flow through us, in us. And it's here, even before it comes, we're still walking by faith, and there's even a joy that the barren woman has before it ever happens. There's a joy. It's going to happen. I trust God. Barren woman, rejoice. Barren woman, shout. Barren woman, make preparation. So as we walk with this hope that comes from the Holy Spirit, comes from, I trust the Spirit to do His work in me. And His work is giving me these things. That's His work. So these are things that, and I have that confidence, if I will just trust Him, He will do it. And we shout, we have a joy, a shouting joy. So I trusted in His Spirit, and His Spirit gave me this joy. I know where the joy came from. It didn't come from anything I did. This joy came because I trusted the one that God sent, and He did His work in me. So this is a joy that He gives. Now let's go back and look at our problem, little thing we got going on here, dealing with the two persons of the Godhead, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now, walk by faith in the Spirit? No, I have Christ. No, you don't. Your Lord is the Holy Spirit, and He's the one that's going to give you this. So what is He giving? Let's look at this joy that we're receiving from the Holy Spirit. Peace is there. Righteousness is in one of our passages. I want to concentrate on the joy. Let's take a look at the joy. I want you to begin to understand, as we read Galatians 5:22, where we have the divine nine, or the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit, that are listed together there. They're not all, but there's nine listed. People, just erase in your mind that the fruit of the Spirit is isolated. That there's this one, and then there's this one, and there's this one, and there's this one, which I have been taught for most of my Christian life. They're isolated things that the Holy Spirit does. I want you to begin to set that aside, because that's not what is going on. In the Galatians chapter 5, it's called the fruit. That is singular. One. So what do we have when we put together the fruit of the Spirit? What you have, dear people, is you have Christ being formed in you, which is the goal in chapter 4. What did he say? I'm in labor pains with you until Christ is formed in you. Then in chapter 5, we're going to have a picture of the completion of Christ. And the picture of Christ formed in you is the fruit. Start thinking of it not as isolated fruit, but I want you to think of it as one unit, and that unit is the person and character of Jesus Christ. Now, on this one area of happiness, turn with me to John 15. John 15. Now, in John 15, I want to look at verse 11 with you. Verse 11 of John 15. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy. Now, the love that comes from us is His love. Love one another as I have loved you. Now we have another thing here. That my joy may be in you. I just got to stop and just say it, because I'm running out of time. It's not an isolated joy, dear people. It's not just an isolated concept of happiness that's given to it. If you do that, you're going to miss it. And you're going to be looking for that one part of the work of the Spirit. It's the person of Christ. It's His joy. Just like it's His love, the happiness that you and I are going to receive is His happiness. His happiness while He was bearing our sins on the cross. His happiness when He became incarnate for us. It's His joy. It's not my joy any more than it's my love. It's not your happiness any more than it's your love. It's His love that flows through me and through you when we're walking in the Spirit. It's his joy. Why is this important? Not only is it important due to the source, the Holy Spirit, but it's also important due to what's going to make me happy. If I relate happiness with the circumstances of life, that's not his happiness. If I relate my happiness and joy to things working out the way I want them, then it's not his happiness. It's mine. See, this is divorced of all the circumstances around you. This is his happiness. This is the happiness that you can have all through 1998, regardless of the circumstances, because people, it's not your happiness, and it isn't mine. It's a real happiness that belongs to Christ, and it starts becoming part of you as Christ starts being formed in you. Now, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you. And don't miss the next one. And that your joy, do you see that? My joy, your joy. It becomes yours. As Christ is formed in you, it becomes your joy now. But don't lose that. It's like the spiritual love. It's love that's flowing through me. But it's the love Jesus Christ loved me with. This joy is his joy, and now it's mine, given to me by the Spirit. That your joy may be made full. Okay, what does that mean? Verse 12, I just can't pass that. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Joy is related to loving one another as Christ loved. This is why it's here. Now let's just flow through this rather quickly. These things I have spoken to you. These things refer to the upper room discourse, which began in John 13:1. Deals with all the things that Jesus Christ has been communicating to them. All the things that he has been teaching them, namely the new commandment, to love one another as I have loved you, by the power of the Spirit. Therefore, the upper room involves the sending of a second helper that's going to make it possible for us to love as he loves, make it possible for us to have his joy in us. So what I want you to begin to see is something so powerful that we miss it. And I don't want you to miss what's happening spiritually in your life. And that is this, that as I come to Jesus Christ, as I believe in him as Savior, lo and behold, he becomes a reality, and I now see him, and I now know him, because I see and know his Son. It is not belittling to talk about, belittling to God the Father to say, you've got to emphasize on the Son here. You can't go here and think you're going to have a relationship. He's not known. He has chosen where he will be known. He will be known through the person of Christ. Now, I want to know Jesus Christ. He has sent his Spirit. If I want to know Christ, I'm going to go through the Spirit. My relationship is going to be with the Lordship, not of Jesus Christ, but the Lordship of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm going to trust him. And what is going to be the result? Not him, but my objective, Jesus Christ. He is going to form, he, the Holy Spirit, is sent to form Jesus Christ in me. He's going to give me Christ's love. He's going to give me Christ's happiness. And all of the other things that are there, but we're dealing with happiness tonight. So, this is why he sent the second helper. These things I have spoken to you that, in order that, here's my purpose of the upper room discourse. My joy may be in you. People, your Savior, as well as your Father, but let's just stay with the context, wants you to be happy. Well, if you want me to be happy, why didn't he give me this? Why didn't he do that? Why don't he take this or out of my life? Why don't he do this or that? Then you miss the whole point. How he's going to give it to you. What it is. The happiness that belongs to Christ. And as you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit starts transforming you into the image of Christ, he's going to give you that very happiness that belongs to Christ. So we get our eyes off of eating and drinking things of the world and of the flesh for happiness, and we start getting our eyes on the Holy Spirit, who's going to lead us and bring us to the reality of Christ formed in us. He says then, these things I have spoken to you in order that, for the purpose that, my joy may be in you. Now we study spiritual love belongs to Jesus Christ. The love that we want to flow through us, it is not my love. I cannot love like Christ. In fact, sometimes I don't want to. I would be much better off just being mad at you. I'd be much better off being angry at you. I would be much better off walking away from you. I'd be much better off cheating you. I don't want to love you. But in the power of the Spirit, spiritual love flows. It's not my love. It's His love. So His Spirit, by my trust in His Spirit gives me the love of Jesus Christ. And now what we're learning, how do I find this happiness? It's not a happiness abstract. What's one of the things we saw about love? Love is not an abstract concept. You cannot talk. It is impossible to talk about love, spiritual love, outside of the person of Christ. Love is known in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Now, what I want you to start seeing is, so is this happiness. Where's your concentration for the happiness? Should be directed toward the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit takes you to the very person of Christ. And then all of a sudden, His joy starts flowing through you. His happiness. It's not an abstract concept. People get this idea, trying to define happiness. Happiness is circumstances. Happiness is a condition of the soul. Happiness is this. Happiness is known in a person. The person is Jesus Christ. That's the happiness I want. And if you can say that, pray that, and mean that, and that's the happiness the Holy Spirit gives, and people, that's the only happiness He has to give, is the happiness that belongs to Christ. The same happiness He gives to the humanity of Christ, He gives to us. And Jesus Christ, what does He say? It's a powerful point. I've given you all these things in order that you may have my joy. That's a purpose clause, dear people. I told you about the new commandment of love. I told you about the Holy Spirit. I told you about the greater works. I told you all these things. But I want my joy in you. My joy. And if you let this sink in, it just starts changing the whole momentum and the whole concept of happiness. It belongs to a person. It belongs to Jesus Christ. So the happiness is the happiness of Christ. Our love is the love of Christ. Our happiness is the happiness of Christ. So, jump right to it as we close out this year special. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, singular. Why singular? Because the fruit of the Spirit is a person. It's Jesus Christ being formed in you. We've noted that we have not studied it, and we do need to study it sometime. Put on the whole armor of God. If you read through what each of the aspects of the armor of God is, you're putting on Christ. Every one of those is Him. They're not abstract, or they're not separate concepts. The sword and the helmet and the breastplate and all those things, different. The one armor. Armor. And that's Christ. Now we're looking at fruit. And we'll be seeing this as we go through Galatians 4. But we're getting a jump on it tonight. So the joy is part of the whole person of Christ being formed in you. Can I have real happiness in 1998, regardless of the circumstances of my life? People, yes. Absolutely. All you have to do is walk by faith in the Spirit, and what He will do, He will cause Christ to be formed in you, and that will involve that inner happiness that belongs to Christ. And you know you really have it when, regardless of the circumstances of life, and not just say it in words, because anyone can claim anything you want. They want. The believers in James were claiming faith, and James says, I know you're not. And if you are doing faith, it's dead. So I'm not talking about claiming. I'm not reality. And you have this joy inside, and you know, I look at the circumstances in my life. I look at this, I look at that, I look at what I'm doing, what I'm not doing, all this stuff. I didn't make this happen. And yet I had it. What's beginning to happen to you is the hope is becoming reality. You walk by faith, and the Holy Spirit is a period of hope of these things, and they're starting to become reality. Christ is starting to be formed in you. Dear people, there are Christians, and I mean Christians, saved, spend their whole life working at this and never get there. Just like there are many people who spend their whole life working to be saved, and I'm sorry to say, will not spend eternity in the sense of just salvation we're talking about in the presence of God. And yet they spent their whole life working hard. And all they had to do back here was just trust me, the one I sent. And now there are many Christians who are saved spending their whole life trying to be happy and will never be. Never have real happiness. What is the real happiness? It's Christ being formed in you. It's His happiness. That my happiness will be in you. So can I have this joy? Absolutely. This is the truth of the gospel. I will give you the happiness that belongs to Christ if you will just trust me. Alright, John 15:11. Now let's take a look. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you. Alright, what is he talking about? He's talking about the sending of his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he puts it in what? May be in you. Not every believer that he's talking to believers, and not every believer is going to have it. May be in you. Subjunctive mood. Maybe you will have this joy in you. And then again, maybe you won't. And what happens with a lot of us, with a lot of Christians, I don't have it, and it's in the Scripture, so I know I should, so I'm going to work real hard. And this is why I call them the spiritual alchemist. You know what the problem is? I can tell you why I'm not happy inside my soul. I haven't put the right combination of things together yet. I haven't come up with the right list. See, what an alchemist would do, and what's so helpful in the area of physics and science is, they kept records. Okay, this time, I put in, and this is true, I put in 3,000 egg yolks, I put in 3 cups of horse urine, I put in, I'm telling you exactly the stuff they put into these things. It's the truth. I put in all of this stuff, and then I put it into the pot and cooked it, and it didn't turn into gold. Okay, let me see what I can change on my list here. What can I change? And they worked at this stuff. The books on alchemy are just fascinating. I remember I was with David Smith on a plane, and he said, "Is there anything else to read?" I can read. Handed him a book on alchemy, the history of alchemists, and he went, "Oh yeah, real good." And I think I'll just read a magazine, Herman. And but to me, it's just fascinating. They would try this and they try that. I mean, they would spend their whole life searching fortunes down the drain, people. I mean, you just can't imagine how serious these things are. The alchemist, I'm going to find that proper ingredient. And I'm going to make gold out of common elements. And this is what a lot of religious people do. I'm going to find the proper combination for joy. I'm going to put so much work and so much knowledge of doctrine and so much morality, so much singing and praying and doing and the sacraments and working and all in on. Well, that didn't work. No, we're not happy there. Well, let's change some things around. Maybe we need a little more of the prayer and a little less of this. Let's try that one. And you never get that. You come along. You want it? I'll give it to you. I'll give you the love of my son. Just the one I said. Grab all of that. Just trust me. So this is why it's in a subjunctive mood. You may have it. You may not have it. Whether you have happiness of Jesus Christ in you in 1998 depends simply on your walking by faith in the one that He sent, people. It's that simple. Do you realize how, those of you that are saved by grace and faith, how we must sound to some people? All you have to do is to believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're saved, and that's all you do. That's why we're a minority in the world. No, that is not enough. John MacArthur calls that easy faith. And you've got to do something to, we sound different to them. Can you imagine telling Christians, all you got to do to have the happiness of Christ? It's that easy. Just like it did with Christ. No. You're going to have to do this and this and this. And then they've got the alchemist list. They made up their list of what you have to do, and we figured it out, the formula. We can figure God out and what you have to do. So maybe you will, maybe you won't. Subjunctive mood, I propose to you, introduces the problem of the church. Saved by grace and live by works. Live by law. Trying to do, and therefore never having the joy. Never having the joy of Jesus Christ. We can no more produce this joy experientially than we could produce it positionally. Being saved forever. You've got to see that. I can no more produce a joy in my life as a Christian than I could produce the joy that I got when I was saved. I can no more do that. I'm going to have to trust Him to do it. And that's what we have going on. And that your joy may be made full. This is important. What's so important about this? What is Christ saying? This is why we have the story of Abraham, Sarah, and the birth of Isaac. Abraham and Sarah given a promise. And they trusted God, and then they had the birth of the child. Now, what do we have that your joy may be full? What's he talking about? He's talking about what Paul's talking about in Galatians 4. I'm in labor pains until Christ is formed in you. This is when this joy is full. Christ formed in you. Then this joy is made full. I'm going to hopefully come up with something better than this analogy or illustration. But I want you to look at the fruit in Galatians chapter 5. We've seen that it is the person of Christ, and that's the way I want you to look at it. When you open up these the books, and they show you in the womb the formation of the child, you see even the very beginning when it starts forming, the whole body is there. And what I'm trying to say here is that as you begin to walk by faith, the whole person of Christ is there, but when you continue to walk by faith, it starts becoming to that point to where it gives birth to the fullness of Christ formed in you. That's what he means by that in our passage, that you have all this joy, and it may be that, and that your joy may be made full, perfect. What is that? That's when Christ is forming you. So all of the fruit, and I'm going to put, and I wish I could come up with something else for Christ, but I'm going to put this for the whole person of Christ, is that this is there, the person of Christ is there, all of the nine fruit of the Spirit, they're all there. What we want them to do is now to become full. I want them perfect. I want a perfect fruit with every part of the fruit formed. And the perfect part of the fruit is the whole being of our Savior. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. And so what Paul is saying is, this is like a birth. And it's being formed in you. You start with the love and the joy and the peace and so forth, all of the divine mind. They're all there. And people don't get decided, well, I'm going to work on love, and I'm going to work on joy, I'm going to work on peace. Sometimes peace comes through. Sometimes joy comes through. It's all the type of teaching I was given. No, this is one fruit. This is Christ. Amen. This is powerful. This is your Savior. This is Him being formed. It's all of this fruit made full. And we live with that hope as we walk by faith. And we're not going to get discouraged and go to law to make it happen. I know what being like Christ would be. It is, so I'm going to do that. I wear these wristbands. What would Christ be like? I have to figure it all out. I don't know. And I'll admit it. But the Holy Spirit knows. So I'm going to trust Him. And so slowly, all these things begin to form and all the fruit. Oh, I can understand love. You can't understand love separated from joy. I can understand self-control. You can't understand self-control without understanding joy, peace, and all of the others. They're all mixed together to make one person, Christ, coming through you. It's happening. It's in what He is in you. Don't lose patience. Don't lose faith. See, Abraham, for a while, what did he do? He decided, boy, this isn't happening. It isn't happening. The son isn't happening that I was promised. So, hey, God, let's make it happen. We're going to go make it happen. People, you're not going to make this joy happen. Just admit it to yourself. It's the first and wonderful thing. I understand Nike's going to come out with their new slogan for 98. I can. And it makes sense in the human realm. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's a perfect slogan for them. I can. What is our slogan in Christ? I can't. I can't. There's no way I can make this love, this joy, this peace, all these things happen. I can't make this happen. I don't care what I try to do, what my alchemist list is. I'm broken. I'm just going to trust Him. And when we walk by that faith, okay, it's not happening. I know. And all you see is failure. I know that. And I'm not seeing it either. I'm a barren woman. I haven't given birth to Christ formed in me yet. But I trust Him. And I'm going to keep walking by faith. And then slowly, boom, it starts to happen. Christ formed in you. It's happiness. It's joy that belongs to Him. It starts becoming your joy. His joy becomes your joy. It's not related to anything but the Holy Spirit in Christ. It's not related to any circumstance on earth. It's related to Him. Him being formed in me. So these are the things that we have to begin to understand of what the joy that we're going to have is. Now I want to show you this concept of this being formed in you and being made full, because it's going to come up in Galatians. Turn with me to Exodus 23. Let me just take you here quickly. Exodus 23. I hope you'll see it. Look at Exodus 23. Just little things like this I want to show you that occur through the Bible. And why are they there? And why are they there for you and me? Is there an application for us? Is it saying something to us? Okay, Exodus 23, look with me at verse 30. I, God, will drive them out, talking about inhabitants of Canaan, the promised land. I will drive them out before you. How? All at once? No. Little by little. There's your hope, Christian. It's not happening. We still have enemies in the land. I thought God was going to give me this land. And little by little. It's not happening. I don't have this joy and this love and all these things. I'm doing it little by little. Let's just continue reading. And then I'd love to spend more time, but I do want to stop here. But I want you to see this. I will drive them out from before you little by little. Now look what it says. Until you become fruitful. Things start coming through you and multiplying in you, and the birth takes place in you. And take possession of the land. And what have we seen? That is in our study in the Abrahamic covenant to us is the land is what Christ formed in us. We've seen that. We've been studying that in Galatians. Look quickly at Deuteronomy 7. We'll come back this way probably in the study of Galatians. But I just want to give you a head start in seeing how these things are going to happen and how you can have this joy. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse 22. And the Lord your God. He's going to do it. You don't do it. The Lord your God will clear away these nations before you, little by little. I don't have time to wait on you, God. I want you to clear out these people and do it now. I want Christ formed in me now. I want a righteous life now. Look at there, they have it. Those people doing the law, they have a righteous life. These people, boy, they have a lot of knowledge. These people have it. I want it now, like they got it now. I'm not going to do that. There's a birth taking place in you. My son being formed in you. And I'm going to do it little by little. Let's finish the Deuteronomy verse. And the Lord your God, in the case of our study, it's going to be the third member, Holy Spirit, will clear away these nations before you, little by little. You will not be able to put an end to them quickly. People, it isn't going to happen quickly, like you want and I want. It's going to happen at His timing. And what we're doing as we walk, faith and faith and faith, our faith is getting stronger. We're trusting more. God of hope is working in us, and these things are happening. But I'm not seeing them. But I rejoice like a barren woman. Okay, let's continue reading. Before you, little by little, I'm not going to do it all at once. You will not be able to put an end to them quickly. Lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. In other words, when we study this, we'll take a look at it. I'm not even going to clear out all those weaknesses you had. Oh, man, if you were really, Chris, you really walking in the Spirit, you wouldn't have any of this stuff. And you'd have this, and you wouldn't have that. And you'd have judge, and I've got it all figured out. Read Scripture. I'm not going to clear out all this stuff quickly. Boy, think like if you're a God, you clear out real quick. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. I have no way of knowing other than supposition. I'm sure that probably, if not sooner, but I'm sure by the seventh or eighth month, hey, I wish this kid be born now. I'm through. Let's, you know, the labor pains, let's get this over with. No, it's going to take the full time. And there's no way you're going to rush this thing. It's going to take time for my son to be born in you, formed, and for you to have his love and his joy consistently in your life. But here's the test of Abraham, now for you. You wait, and trust me, I'll give you the birth. I'll do it. I'll do it little by little by little. Something the church doesn't understand. Something we don't want to understand. How is he going to do this? Little by little by little. My little children, I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. People, as he's formed into you, you're going to have His joy. Not just joy, abstract, His joy. Not just love, abstract, His love. Not just peace, abstract, His peace. Not just self-control, patience, all those, not just those things, His. We're going to have Christ, patience. Christ, self-control. Until all of a sudden, little by little, but all of a sudden, it's Christ who lives in me and not me. It's not me living, it's Christ living in me. And I don't even know how it happened. I don't know where, or how about it. I don't even know when it happened. I just know now I'm having some this spiritual love and this joy, and I didn't do anything for it. There are other passages that I want you to look at. I'm going to give you a land that you did not cultivate. I'm going to give you a city that you did not build, and it's going to be there. The city is built. It's yours, and you didn't even build it. I'm going to give you my son in you, and you didn't even do it. I'm going to give it to you. Will you trust me? Will you trust me to give you this life? Get ready for the communion and celebrate the communion service. I think everyone here tonight understands that there's no dogma related to the giving of the elements and the formation of these things. And how gracious of God for not doing that, because we all through history live in different circumstances. There's time of war, there's times of poverty, there's time of isolation for Christians through history. And if he had laid down a whole bunch of rules, there might be, well, I couldn't fulfill a rule. And then what do I do? So he didn't do that to us. He just said, this is what I want you to do, the bread and the cup. That's our custom, because it's communion, together, that we're going to eat together, participate together. So we ask that you hold the bread until everyone's been served, and we will partake of it. So gentlemen that are going to serve, please come to the front. The first thing we will do, in keeping with the procedure of Christ, we will pass the bread. And again, there's so many things we could talk about the bread. The bread represents, the bread really represents the love that we're going to have. Where Jesus Christ as God became man, humiliated himself to become lowly man. There's just no way that we can even understand that. If rats or snakes disgust you, it's like I'll become a rat so that all the other rats can be reconciled to God. And I mean, we think the human race is pretty good, but we're human. We're not supernatural, even like angels. But today we're going to love. So the bread represents his body, which is given for us. And then we've noted that the bread is the bread of what? It is the bread of comfort. And you know the story now, the custom of the Jews. You go over to somebody's home who was suffering over the death of someone they loved, and you sit down, and maybe even without speaking, you just take out of your little bag that you brought one loaf of bread, and you break it. And this is very important, to break it. And you give it to them, and you say, I'm comforting you. I understand this all. I want to comfort you. This is what the bread is designed to do. He died, but I'm going to comfort you with this bread. So let's pass the bread, and everyone hold until all have been served. Given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, the flesh does not desire to even remember Jesus Christ. So even here is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as we're told in John, to bring to memory what Jesus Christ did, that we might enter the kingdom, that we might be reconciled to you and with you, and trusting in your Son. We praise you, Heavenly Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen. We hold the cup that all till all have been served, that we may fellowship together. Cup, it did represent what we call the mind. Well, in the Jewish custom, the friend who had come over to console would, after taking out the bread, would pull out a jug of wine and pour the wine for both. And what the purpose of the wine, the purpose of the bread, was called the bread of comfort. And the cup is a cup of encouragement. Okay. Jesus Christ is departed. He is not here. He is not here. We cannot follow him. So what do we do? We're discouraged. Discouraged. I don't know what to do. Okay. This is a cup of the new covenant. And the new covenant, the size of the relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. The cup of encouragement. We are now encouraged to go on and live, even though he has departed and is not here. We are encouraged to go on and live each day in our lives, in our marriage, in our single life, in our work, in our church, in our assembly, in every area of our being, and do so in the new covenant, that is, in the power of God the Holy Spirit. The covenant is not written with stone, 2 Corinthians 3, like the law, it's written on your soul, the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that chapter we were going to read tonight, now the Lord is the Spirit. So our Lord now is the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, and to power us. Where the Spirit is, there is liberty. Then verse 18 is transforming us into the image of Christ. So all of these things are encouraging. So let's stand, please. In the same manner, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is to be covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's open our hymnals to hymn number 35. Hymn number 35. We will sing the first, third, and fourth. First, third, and fourth. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are as we close out 1 year and bring in a new year, that your Son lives. And because he lives, Heavenly Father, and because he lives in us through the presence of your Spirit, each day, Heavenly Father, is another day to add to the formation of Christ in us. We want his joy, not ours. We want his joy, not a joy related to eating and drinking the things of the earth, but the joy of Jesus Christ, which we can have freely. And Father, we praise you that you're this kind of a God, that if we trust you, you give. We praise you tonight, Heavenly Father, in your Son's name. Amen. Let's end the tonight and begin the year with the old traditional, Auld Lang Syne. It's one of those songs that goes so fast. So I'm going to have Wes just play it through one time totally, and then we'll sing both verses. Wes?